Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Oh, I love that introduction from Joe Beninati. It is great, mostly because it just mentions my name and not Tarik El-Bashir's. Anyway, welcome to another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. I am, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He is the Wallace to my grommet. He's Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik.
These are getting more and more obscure as you run out of options.
I knew you wouldn't know what this one was.
Grommet?
Wallace and Grommet.
What is it?
It's this British claymation cartoon.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I didn't know their names. It's funny. It's quirky.
Quirky. It's a lot. The more I was thinking about it, because I knew I'd have to explain this to you, the more it's like Inspector Gadget. It's the dumb idiot who with the... invent weird inventions.
Okay.
And then the very smart dog.
Inspector Gadget was not a dumb idiot. He was a genius who was just a little misunderstood. He was a little clumsy. He was a little clumsy, but he was the mastermind behind the whole thing.
He was the mastermind behind the whole thing.
Absolutely.
I don't think you've seen Inspector Gadget anytime recently.
Look, the dog might have been, you know, like you, like out there, look, it's all me. But really, Inspector Gadget was the guy like driving,
that sounds
driving
exactly
the boat.
Like the dog. Anyway, what we will talk about today, we will hear from Tom Wilson, who joined the podcast. We will talk about the All-Star captain of the Metropolitan Division, and we will talk about the struggles of TJ Oshie. But first, Tark, how was Caps Casino night?
So much fun. This is the second one that I've done since I returned to the beat after covering the Redskins for 4 years. I'd done some on the other side of my Redskins tenure, and I don't really remember those very well. But last year it was at the Sheraton, I believe, in Arlington, which is a nice hotel, nice ballroom. But this was the MGM Grand. Like, you walk through a busy, hopping casino floor to get to another busy, hopping area where there's, you know, 20 NHL players and a lot of fans, and everyone's dressed up, and they're playing cards. It's a great time. I don't get any money or any, you know, I don't help the team, you know, get money for charity by saying this, but if you're a fan and you have the time to do something with the team and you want to get some one-on-one time with a player, or you want to play blackjack against Koozie or Ovi, this is the time to do it. I don't know what the buy-in is, like what a ticket costs, but I'll tell you, I mean, everywhere you look, it's just folks, you know, hamming it up with players, and the players know the deal, so they go in expecting and knowing that, look, this is all for charity, it's all for the Monumental Sports Foundation, and I think Ted's charity as well. And so they know that it's for a good cause. So they have, you know, they have the charm turned on, and it's just a lot of fun. You know, for us, we were on Facebook Live with Alan May and Rob Carlin. We talked to a bunch of players. I played roulette on while interviewing Jay Beagle, which is one of the funnier things I've done since I returned to the beat, because Beagle had no idea what he was doing, and I had no idea what I was doing. And so you get fake money when you come in. And because I didn't actually buy a ticket, I didn't get fake money. Carlin got fake money from Koozie. Koozie just like threw him like $100,000 like bill. My money all came from Jake Verana, who just he had too much, and he was like, "Here, have my chips." and Beagle's chips came from, he just reached across the table and took them from the dealer.
So not like a real casino.
It was not like a real casino. It's all fake money. It's all for a great cause. The first thing that struck me was Ovi started taking pictures with fans at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And then fans just kind of, in an impromptu way, because I don't think there was a line set up, just started forming a line. And I put this on my Twitter account. The line within like 30 seconds was like 200 people long. It was like stretched around the ballroom. And he just stood there patiently and took a picture with every single person who wanted to get their picture taken. So, again, I mean, if you're a fan and you want to rub elbows with players, you know, going to Kettler and, you know, yelling their name as they run off the ice to go get on with the rest of their workday. That's one way to do it. But if I were you, I could take it to casino night next year. It's a blast.
Always a fun event. Let's move on to some of the news of the week. We talked briefly last week about the struggles of TJ Oshie, whose play has seemed a bit off since he returned to the lineup. Now, in an effort to spark his production, Barry Trotz has reunited the Ovechkin-Backstrom Oshie line in practice. Interestingly enough, it was not a move Oshie necessarily agreed with, as he shared with reporters.
Things aren't really going my way right now, not playing my best, but working hard and doing a lot of little things good. So, we'll see. I'm sure playing with those two guys never hurts, but I think just a little frustrating that, you know, me, V, and Kuzi, three pretty good players, and we couldn't figure a way to bring some offense to the team. But fortunately for us, a lot of other guys are playing really well right now. So we'll see if the lines stick, if they stay. But in my possession, I almost feel a little bad for Devo. He played great on that line. Tom was playing really good on that line. So kind of, for me, a little frustrated for them that they were in the top spot there and they got moved down after some really good play. He told me I was going with those big two guys. And I told him that I thought that Devo and Tom probably deserved to play there. So we'll see what happens. Not too worried about it, though. We still got a long ways to go. Not the first time I went a couple games without scoring. So still having fun, still working hard.
Tart Trotz stressed to the media that this was a practice move for now, but I think we all expect him to keep these lines for the next game. What have you noticed from Oshie, and is Trotz making the right call?
Okay, so yeah, Oshie has not looked like his regular old self since he returned from injury. He was scuffling a little bit going into the injury, too.
Yes.
So he's got a kind of a body of work here where he hasn't produced a whole lot. He's had moments like this in the past in his career, and he's, unlike a young player, he knows how to self-diagnose and how to self-correct.
Right.
So that's why people aren't freaking out or aren't very concerned about it. It's a little more concerning coming out of the concussion because you've seen some stuff that you aren't normally used to seeing from Oshie.
Right. Bad turnovers, bad penalties.
Lost the puck in a shootout, just the puck just rolled off his stick. I mean, we just don't normally see that stuff from a world-class player. But look, as we get further away from the concussion, I think he's going to continue to get better. And I don't think this is going to be a big problem going forward. I mean, he is still third on the team in goals. He's doing okay. He's lighting it up on the power play. Look, he was being very humble when he said, you know, I think there's some other guys who deserve to be on that first line.
Right.
Inside, he was probably going, "Oh, please,
oh, thank goodness,
yeah, I'll get this going." So if you're Barry Trotz, the one reason you make that move is because you want to get 77 going, and everyone who's played on the right side of that line since Ovi and Backe have been reunited has played very well. But at the same time, you want to get Verana and Kuzi going too because they weren't playing very very well with Oshie. So you put the new fixer on that line, which is Tom Wilson. That's what Barry Trotz called him. That used to be Justin Williams' job. In the past, it's been Jay Beagle's job. Bring some energy, some net front, some toughness, some grit. So Wilson now is on that second line. So I'm curious to see how it all works out on Sunday against the Blues, but it can't hurt. And this team is in a position now where they can experiment a little bit.
Yeah. Backstrom, Ovechkin, Oshie has always been a good line. In the past, you know, you don't want to see it for too long because I'm not sure the Caps have the offensive depth to maintain it for too long. But we've seen Trotz doesn't hesitate to switch up the lines when they need a line change. And ultimately, this team needs Oshie to produce to be successful. So it makes sense. Try to spark that production. Get what you can out of him, because he's not been himself since he came back. For people worrying that he came back too early, these guys have to go through pretty extensive protocol before they come back. So, you know,
more extensive than the NFL, at least.
Yeah. He doesn't have to go in a tent for 5 seconds and then skate back out.
Right. There's actually a lot of stuff that they have to adhere to.
So I'm not too concerned about him coming back too early. He's just trying to get his legs back under him and get back into the groove of things. We will be back with our interview with Tom Wilson right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, we talked about TJ Oshie, but one player Trotz is not concerned with is Tom Wilson, who's putting together what may well be the best season of his career.
Oh, it already is.
Wilson was nice enough to join the podcast this week. Here's my interview with him. All right, I'm here with everybody's favorite bro bean, Tom Wilson. Tom, first off, all the talk around D.C. has been about this bomb cyclone. There's half an inch of snow on the ground. School is canceled. Everyone's panicking. As someone who's from Canada, do you sort of laugh at how everybody freaks out about snow around here?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't think much of it when I woke up this morning. I just noticed that it snowed a little bit. So definitely kind of freaks everyone out a little bit. But, you know, it's fun, too. It's nice to kind of bring you back to your roots a little bit. We don't get too much snow around here, so it's fun when it does.
All right, on to hockey. This year, obviously, a lot was expected of you coming into the season. Offensively, you're expected to take the next step in your game. Things didn't start off the way you may have wanted with the 4-game suspension. How frustrating was that given what was expected of you this season?
Yeah, obviously that's not what you want from a preseason campaign. You want to kind of come back, and I was feeling kind of better than I ever had coming into the season, and stronger, and it definitely wasn't in my foreseen planned future, but you know what, it happens. It was a little bit of adversity, and once I got back from it, it just kind of made me hungry to kind of get back, get into the lineup, and kind of help the guys out whichever way I could.
Now that you're back in the lineup, things have been going pretty well with 6 goals and 18 points, and you've become the go-to guy for Trotz whenever he's looking for a spark on a line. How much confidence does that give you, knowing that you've become the go-to guy for your head coach?
You know what? There's a lot of pretty special players in this room, and it takes 5 guys on the ice to kind of make things click. So I wouldn't look too much into that. You know what? Whatever line I'm playing on, I got 2 great line mates playing with Owen and Nikki for a while there, and that's pretty good company. And then obviously past couple games with Lars and Colin, those guys are workers. They can skate and score. So I'm pretty fortunate wherever I get to go, there's going to be good company. And I just try and keep my feet moving, keep the energy high, and you know, stay positive and hopefully create space and compliment the guys on my line as much as I can.
You mentioned playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom. What's it like playing on the line with those two guys?
It's a lot of fun. I think it was fun being a part of their reunion. You know, we all kind of got stuck together on a line, and they hadn't played together in a while, so it was fun to kind of be the third wheel per se. It was they were having fun being back with each other, and I got to see it firsthand. So we had a lot of success early on, and obviously it's a long season. There's going to be ups and downs, and you know, you see whichever guy gets put on that line, there's going to be good chemistry. Those two are pretty some of the best players in the world. So it was fun, and we'll see, maybe get back up there at some point, and it's always a good time when you're up there.
I know a lot of players like consistency on their lines. You switch around the lines a lot so far this season. How difficult is it to go from line to line like that?
It's tough. I mean, there is something to be said about familiarity and chemistry and all that, but you know what? I've played with a lot of these guys for a couple of years now, so I've played with them at different points, and I do get moved around a lot, so I've got to play with pretty much everyone. So I know everyone. I know their tendencies, so when I get put on their line, it's not like I haven't played with them before. It's not brand new. It's kind of maybe a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. You can draw back on that, and you know what? I just try and keep it simple, play my game, and those guys will read off me and the energy and kind of keep my feet moving. And like I said, just play hard and create space for them, and get in on the forecheck, keep things simple, and do whatever I can.
as well as you're playing offensively, you're still seen as the go-to guy whenever an Antoine Roussel or a Ryan Reeves starts acting up. How do you balance the offensive and physical play, given if you're sitting 5 minutes in the penalty box, that affects the team more than it ever has before?
Yeah, definitely gotta be smart about it. You can't help the team when you're in the penalty box. But that being said, there's definitely a place for it. When a guy on our team kind of gets taken advantage of or whatever, you gotta kind of stick up for your teammates. That's in my nature, and I don't think that'll ever be kind of taken away. And depending on how the game goes, you know, there's been numerous times where you get into it, and maybe the fight doesn't come, and then you go out and you score on the next shift or get an assist, and that can't happen if you're sitting 5+ minutes in the box. So got to be smart about it. The physical fighting aspect of the game's come down a little bit, obviously, the past couple of years, and I think it's trending that way a little bit, but there's always going to be that part of the game, and definitely an aspect of my style of play, and kind of always follows me around a little bit.
That was Tom Wilson. Thanks for hopping on the podcast.
Thanks.
Big thanks to Tom Wilson for joining the podcast. Tarik, as you said, he is having the best season of his career already. He's mm-hmm. showing an offensive flair that many had already dismissed was even possible from him. What have you seen from him so far this season?
Many, you mean dismissed by you?
I did not.
Oh, yes, you did. All right. In the interest of keeping this podcast moving along, look, there were times, I'll be honest, early last season, where I got a little frustrated watching Wilson as well. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. He is still a very young player, and he is starting to turn a corner. I think, and this is all well documented, the way he was brought into the league, he was used wrong.
Completely mishandled by Adam Oates.
No doubt. It kind of stunted his growth, and Barry Trotz and company have spent the last 3+ years rebuilding his game, and you're starting to see the fruits of that now. And, he is exactly 1 point away from equaling last year's point total, and he's only played 37 games. He missed four because of suspension, as you guys discussed, played all 82 last year. And we said it last year in the playoffs when he had that series against Toronto. We were like, "Whoa, this is not the same dude. This is a different 43."
Right.
And sure enough, he went and busted his ass in the offseason in Toronto, and came back and was in great shape as always. And it's just kind of been like a launching pad from there. The interesting thing in the coming months is going to be how much are they going to – look, he's going to be an RFA, so he doesn't have a whole lot of leverage to wield.
Right.
But he's another player who they're going to have to pony up for if he continues to play the way he's playing. Look, he is still leading the league in penalty minutes, but he's not taking those knuckleheaded, "What are you doing, Tom Wilson?" penalties anymore.
Yeah.
So he's clearly figured out, and I think it might have taken that suspension and getting in trouble at the start of the year to kind of hammer that home. He still plays with an edge. He still every once in a while hits somebody and you're like, "Ooh, where was the elbow? Was he?" There's still a little bit of that, which is good.
Yep.
Because you want the other team when they step on the ice. Anyone who's played hockey knows there's that one guy on the other team where as soon as you go over the boards, you go, "Where is, oh, thank God he's not on." Or, "Oh crap, there he is." There's that one guy, and he's that guy for this Capitals team. And that just keeps the other team honest, and he stands up for his teammates, and still is a pretty good heavyweight, and he's starting to put up stats.
We are going to talk about the newly minted All-Star captain, Alex Ovechkin, right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarik, Alex Ovechkin was named the captain of the Metropolitan Division for the NHL All-Star game this week. He spoke with the media on Thursday about what that honor meant to him.
It's a huge honor, be an All-Star. Be able to stay in the same level as many years I played, and it's a huge honor. I'm not that 25 years old anymore. I have to stay in shape. Obviously, still lots of do some crazy things, but I'm married right now, it's a different life.
Translation, I'm here for the parties.
Yeah, well, there you go. Tart, Ovechkin is having an incredible season this year.
He is.
Someone who was pretty much left for dead last year said 33 goals. Hey, that's still good, but
left,
that is not.
You left him on the side of 66.
But many people thought that he was not the dynamic playmaker that he was, and that he was on the downturn of his career. This year, I think he is a legitimate candidate through at least halfway through the season, a legitimate candidate for
the
Hart.
The first time I saw on his Instagram this summer, he was running through the woods with that dude, Pavel.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this dude's taking it serious.
Right.
This guy took to heart what happened last year in the playoffs, took to heart scoring 33 goals and how that for a player who's making $10 million a year is unacceptable. I shouldn't say unacceptable, but just not up to the level of where they need him to play and to perform and to produce for a guy who's on top of the food chain by a lot. And as soon as I saw some of those videos, I was like, yeah, this guy is going to come back in the kind of shape he needs to be in. And that's not to say he was ever out of shape. He just, you got to work harder when you get older.
Right.
You got to work harder.
Yep.
You got to lose a couple pounds to make up for what you lose naturally. And he figured all that out. And you're seeing a player. I mean, when I look at him, he looks like a player. It looks like the Alex from like 29 years old, 28 years old. He still has that explosion there. I mean, just the other night, I mean, the goal in down in Carolina, the goal in the third period, great, beautiful. Great play by Nicky to get him the puck. But the play in overtime, that was the end of a long shift. He literally said, "I'm done. I want to go home. I want to get on the plane. I'm ready to go home." And he dug deep and he turned on the Jets. And there have been times throughout this first half of the season where he has made plays. Now it's still not the bouncing the puck off the board, spinning around Roman Hamrlick, going into Carey Price and score. He doesn't score those anymore. But he's gone back. He's rewound the clock at least 3 or 4 years in terms of foot speed, in terms of how quickly he's able to attack. With speed on the wing, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. And the Capitals needed it; they needed this because everyone else is kind of just following suit now.
The fact that he can look like a player in his prime at the age of 32. Now, I don't like referring to a 32-year-old as old, considering that I'm 31. I like to think that I'm still in my prime, but
not this.
But what he's managed to do is absolutely incredible. Tied for the league leading goals, on pace for 52 goals this season. 52 goals.
Yeah.
And he had 33 last season. We thought that 40 was maybe a stretch for
now,
him.
Now, before we get all crazy, you remember he slowed down in the second half of last year too. So he actually was okay in the first half. So I kind of want to see, but there's been no sign of a slowdown.
And I
would expect him. I said that outside of the season, I thought 40 to 45 would be good for him. I've adjusted that upward a little bit. I think 45 plus is what we're looking at here, and maybe even adding 30 plus assists.
Yeah, and to be fair,
by the way, he's 4-6 assists away from 500.
Yes, he is,
which will make him only the second player in franchise history to get to 500. Joining, of course, Nicholas Backer.
An extremely underrated passer. Everyone comes from the Bulls.
Why do people say underrated? This is like the fifth time I've heard that. Do you guys remember his rookie year? Yeah. And then his second year? Like, he had 50-plus assists. The dude can pass.
But no one knows that.
His line mates do.
His line mates do, but everyone outside of DMV area does not know that he can pass. Everyone thinks, everyone in Canada thinks he's the selfish player. It is totally ridiculous. He is a great playmaker.
I'm looking at his assist totals the first few years. I mean, he was 54, 46, 47, 54, 59, 50. I mean, the dude, maybe he became an underrated passer when he dropped down to, 27, 21, 24. He changed the way he was approaching the game. But the first 7 seasons of his career, he was one of the best setup men in the league. And remember, he was playing with guys like Chris Clark.
Right.
And I love Chris Clark. But he was no TJ Oshie.
If we want to talk about how incredible what Ovechkin is doing, let's look at a player. And sometimes I sort of pick on this player because he's the one who I remember just falling off the face of a cliff. Vincent LeCavalier. Vincent LeCavalier was one of the best players in the NHL when he was in his prime.
And then Matt Cook took him out with a shoulder injury, and he kind of never fully. Do you remember when Matt Cook kind of cut around somebody and.
But
dirty.
He he completely fell off a cliff when he reached his 30s.
He did.
When he was 30 years old, he had 54 points.
By the way, one of the coolest things I have ever covered was the 2004 Stanley Cup Finals between the Flames and the Lightning.
Yeah.
And one of the highlights from that game, of that series to me, was I believe it was Game 6 in Calgary, where him and Aguinaldo, the two captains, are fighting. Yeah, they literally are fighting behind the net, like late in a close game. I was like, yeah, this is good stuff.
Let's see. At the age of 29, he had 70 points. 30, he had 54 points.
It's injuries, man.
31, he had 49 points.
Look,
when he was 32, he played only 39 games.
Right. So injuries took away from him what injuries are not doing to Ovechkin, knock on wood, because he is a Russian machine that never breaks. I mean, he doesn't need a mechanic. He just is a freak of nature who doesn't get hurt.
Now, the hit from Nazem Kadri in the playoffs, it took more out of him than we realized, and we found that out on breakdown day.
Yeah.
But he came back in that game and played in the third period, and I watched that game and thought, my leg would have fallen off. I would have been out for the next month. What he's been able to do and the durability that he has, considering that considering the way he plays the game, the durability that he has is just absolutely incredible.
Given the way he plays, too. I mean, he's a physical player. He's not as physical as he was once upon a time. And I think that's part of the reason we're starting to see some of this resurgence. A lot of guys aren't playing as physically this year. Brooks Orpik is another one, because the game just doesn't require and just isn't. It's a speed game now. It's not necessarily about exacting a pound of flesh. And I think that is helping guys who maybe had some high mileage to extend the productive year, productive part of their career. But I digress. The fact that he has been able to keep his body intact and in the lineup is a testament to just genetics. I mean, he comes from a elite athlete family.
Yes,
that helps. And he's just built like a, you know, the thing about Ovi that always has amazed me is, you know, you see him with his shirt off and you're like, he's country strong. Like, there's no like ripples. There's no six pack. There's no like bulging muscles. He just looks like a country dude who's been throwing bales of hay from the floor to the pickup truck all day. It's country strong. And it's just I think that has helped him, because you see those guys who are ripped and the guys who are sculpted, and they end up with, tendon injuries and other sorts of things because maybe they just weren't meant to carry that kind of muscle. Ovi's just naturally a large human.
Guys, we had a lot to get to this week, so we could not get to the mailbag. But I see your questions, Patrick and Greg, and we'll get to all the questions next week, so do not worry. We will get there. If you want your question answered on the next podcast, you can send your questions into capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. You're listening to it right now. Just take your phone, give us a good rating, give us a good review. Take those 2 seconds, subscribe. It really, really does help. Guys, thanks as always for tuning in. For Tarik El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.